I'm rather discombobulated this morning, and it's such a precious time to be together as a family of God and around the Word of God. In speaking to Bill yesterday, we were talking about being around the Word and what it means to be together as a church, to hear the Word and to think on it and to think on life, and it is meaningful. It's meaningful. So thanks for being here today and looking forward to the program this afternoon. I don't need to introduce Brother Wayne, our elder. Brother Wayne's going to preach this morning, and be prayerful for him. We're looking forward to that. I don't need to introduce Brother Kevin Knapp. He's one of ours, and he'll finish up this morning. So thanks for being with us, and we look to God this morning.
Well, thank you, Brother Ken. I am privileged and blessed to be here today, and just want to greet all of you in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful and a beautiful day for the Indy Church. We look forward to the Word this morning. I don't really have anything to offer, but God has it all to offer. And then this program this afternoon, I know some of you are here for that, and that's wonderful. And then, of course, we look forward to this evening, which this church has been waiting for a long, long time. And so we just trust that God will be with us. I had to think yesterday, I don't know about you, but it seemed a little cool to me most of the week. Yesterday the sun broke through those clouds and it just warmed the earth. So powerful. 93 million miles away, God put the sun. It shines every day, the same. But sometimes air currents, and I don't understand all the meteorology, but air currents and clouds and things get in the way, and it doesn't quite seem the same strong or the same warmth, the same strength in those rays. But yesterday, it warmed the earth. And I think of God's love as the same way. It shines down. Sometimes we let things get in the way a little bit, and it isn't felt quite as strong. But today, my prayer is that God's love will shine through like that sun did yesterday and warm our hearts. And help us on our journey where we're going. And I already said too much because we're going to read together in Mark 14 this morning. And we'll share that. It's a very long chapter, and I contemplated what to do. I talked to Brother Ken about it, and he said, don't get flustered, just read as you would choose. But you know, this is God's Word. This is how God talks to us, and God can say it a lot better than I can. So we're going to read the whole chapter. I'll read part of it, and then we'll sing a song and have a prayer, and then we'll read the rest, and then we'll share a few thoughts as God would direct us here. Chapter 14, Gospel according to St. Mark, beginning at verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, very spankered, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there was some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, ye say to the good men of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover, with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And the disciples went forth, came into the city, and found as he said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat at meat, as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, to say unto him one by one, Is it I? Another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dipped with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the shepherd shall be and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter, old bold Peter, said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and found the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. We'll stop reading there for now, and we'll sing a hymn, we'll have a prayer, then we'll finish reading this chapter. Remember, as we read and as you listen, I know you can read. It's not that I have to read, but this is God speaking to us, and it's just good when we can all concentrate in a quiet place, this place of worship, and know that God is talking to us, and he's sharing with us. And we'll share a few thoughts about these. But I think sometimes, obviously, I won't cover every verse or every thought or anything like that this morning. But sometimes I really feel like God can speak to you. I don't know what your needs are. God knows. And so even though we might not cover it in the meditation that would follow, hopefully God can speak to us. And there's several sermons we've already read. So I know that God can speak to your heart as you have need. Let's sing a hymn together. I've opened here 109 in the Zion's Harp. It's Gratitude for Deliverance. Oh, what a thought. Gratitude for deliverance. That's why we're here today, because of what we're reading here. Jesus did, in fact, of course, go to that cross and died, and you're going to cover that more detail probably next Sunday, on Easter Sunday. But he went to the cross, he shed that blood, and do we have gratitude for deliverance? Are we thankful for what he did for us? Are we thankful? Am I thankful? I can just tell you, I don't know about you, but I believe that if I had the gratitude I should have for deliverance, for paying a debt I could never pay, no matter how rich I was, no matter how smart I was, which I'm not, how tall I was, or how much, whatever. He just said, Jesus did it for you. And he did it for you, for each one of us. Do we have gratitude? Are we thankful for that deliverance? And if we have not experienced that deliverance, then it's time. Then it's time. Because there's nothing more precious. Sing as you would choose, hymn 109. Let's now kneel together in prayer. We thank Thee, Lord. We are redeemed. We've just sung those words. And we mean it from the depth of our heart, dear God. As we come to Thee in prayer through Jesus Christ, who is there in heaven now interceding for us, and has been for a couple thousand years and will be as long as there's life on this earth, we thank Thee. We thank Thee. We don't know how else to express it. We know the best way we can express it, dear God, is by how we live our lives, by how we pay attention to what is written in the Word. And we've read many words together this morning. We've read about the plot to kill Thee. We've read about Thy plea that there could be another way. And we also read about the words which Thou didst speak, not my will, but Thine be done. And we've read about giving. We read about the woman with the alabaster box of ointment. We'll talk briefly about that perhaps too. But Father, we just ask that the words we read wouldn't just be words. They would have meaning. They would sink into our hearts. We would apply them as we walk here on this earth. We're thankful to be here together today, to fellowship together, to worship together, to greet one another, to encourage us along the way, because sometimes there's bumps in the road. And sometimes we get discouraged, and sometimes it's a little hard. But always because of the gratitude for deliverance, we look forward to a time when we'll be there where the streets are made of gold and where there'll be no pain or sorrow ever. That's our goal. That's the reason we're here, is to work out that salvation as Thou would have us to do it. We have our own ideas, we have our own ways, and sometimes we're stubborn, we admit it, dear God. Forgive us when we are as such. We thank Thee for the sun that warms the earth again today. How long would it take for the earth to freeze over and die should the sun not come up tomorrow morning? Not very long, we know. And so we just marvel at how that had put that sun there to glow and to burn, to burn and burn and burn and burn and still be there to warm the earth. And we marvel, Father, at Thy love, which is so great. We sing in a hymn that if the sky were parchment and we were all scribes and the ocean was ink, we couldn't write enough about Thy love. So thanks, dear God, for Thy love. And thanks, dear Jesus, for going to the cross for every single person that's in this room this morning and every single person that's not. And so we pray for those that might be outside today. We pray for those that might be contemplating, should I commit? Should I surrender my life to this Savior? It's the only way to be redeemed. And so we pray that if there are such hearts even gathered with us today, that Thou would touch them and give them courage and strength to make that step. We can't do it. None of us can. Parents for children, or children for parents, or friends for friends has to come from within. So, Father, we ask, touch hearts, soften hearts, and bring them to the cross where they will find remission for sin and their robes can be made white, which none of us deserve, but we thank Thee for that also. We know there are some today that are mourning the loss of loved ones, and we pray for them. We pray earnestly that Thou would be the comforter. There are some that are in hospital beds. There are some that are sick of just of the body. There are some that are separated from families. There are children in broken homes. There are those who really don't, children who don't have parents who love them, it doesn't seem. There just are needs everywhere. There are some locked in prisons because they don't understand why Jesus came, or they don't understand the words we read in this chapter. So we pray, Father, that Thou would meet the needs as much as possible wherever Thou canst. We will read further in the Word now. We will ask that the words would be meaningful and the thoughts that we might share could be helpful. That's our prayer. We also pray for the children that are practicing in their, or suppose I would be pretty sure, practicing for their program this afternoon. And they will bring us the story, the message of the old rugged cross. Times change, hymns change, music changes. But I hope, dear Father, that always the old rugged cross will be there. It's where it all takes place. It's how we are redeemed. So let us never forget the old rugged cross is our prayer. So again, we invite Thee into our midst, and we ask, add what is needed to this prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. I believe we commenced, or we've ended at verse 42. Is that right, brother? Thank you, Ken. I thought that was the case, but sometimes I get confused in my old age. So we'll start at verse 43, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. This is where Jesus is betrayed and arrested. It's nothing new. You understand what happened. And yet, just think about Jesus. He didn't deserve any of this. He had just gone into that garden. He said, the load is so heavy. Why was the load so heavy? He knew what was coming. And he knew about the nails that would go through his hand. He knew about the nails that would go through his feet. He knew about the excruciating death that a crucifixion is when you can't breathe. And you've got all this bodily pain beside. And he also knew that it was far greater than that. What he was heavy about was all of that. But the sin of the whole world was resting on where he was going to go and what he was going to do. I can't imagine how heavy that was. And I understand, as a man, because he was as a man here. He walked and talked like you and I. He experienced the things we experienced. I understand why he said, "Father, if there's any other way, would you consider it?" He knew. He knew why he was here. But he had to make one last plea. And then he said, as we must say sometimes, "Not my will, but thine be done." And then it was pretty silent. We're going to read about some of that. Pretty silent, because he knew. There wasn't a point to argue. There wasn't a point to bring in 12 legions of angels, as he could have. No, God had said, this is needed. He spoke about it 800 years earlier in Isaiah 53 when he said, "And God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied." Isn't that wonderful? And so Jesus said, "Not very much." He did acknowledge he was the King. He did acknowledge he was the Son of God. And he had to be there. He had to go there. He had to bear that weight for you and for me because he loved us. There's no other reason. Because he loved us. And because he wants us to dwell with him forever when this life is over. Sorry, got carried away again, I guess. So let's read from verse 43. "And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, with him a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them that token, saying, Whomever I shall kiss, that same is he, take him and lead him away safely." Can you imagine? He used the kiss, which is the symbol of love, to betray his Savior, to betray Jesus. Verse 45, "As soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witnesses agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witnesses against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, answering, Answerest thou nothing? What is it? What is it which these witnesses witness against thee? But he held his peace, and he answered nothing. And again the high priest asked him, and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, and saith, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not. Neither understand I what thou sayest. This was the man we just read about that said he would die before he would deny the Lord. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, This is the third time. Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He wept. Such a beautiful, beautiful account. Again, as I said when I started, I decided just to read it because it says it better than I can say it. But I'd like to share just a few thoughts in what time we have left. I want to go back to the beginning. First of all, it was time for Jesus to go to that cross, and it was time for him to be arrested and all of that. But it wasn't the people so much that were wanting to arrest him. It was the scribes and the Pharisees. It was the leaders. They were worried about their jobs. They were worried about their positions. They thought he was going to be this earthly king, and so did the disciples. And so did Judas, I think. Judas thought he would be the earthly king. Judas, we won't have a lot of time to talk about Judas, but you think about him. I can't imagine Judas, but he was the keeper of the money. He was the treasurer. And we read in other places that he probably wasn't very honest about it all. He probably embezzled a little money for himself beside. And then he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. What does it mean? 30 pieces of silver. Not very much, does it? As I get older, I get more and more like my father, who lived to be almost 96. So I got a little ways to go if I make that. My mother lived to be 71, so it's pretty short if I have her genes. But whatever, as we get older, those 30 pieces of silver don't mean very much. What do you think money meant to my father when he was 94 or 95 years old? Not much. Not much. What is important? What is the real meaning of life that comes through as we age and get older? Isn't it that glory of heaven above? It is. Because that's going to be forever. Whatever we have here, little or large, we're going to leave. We know that. The Brinks truck doesn't follow the hearse. There's nothing for us we're going to take along, is there? Except the joy in our heart that will live forever. That's what this whole thing is about. It's why Jesus went. It's why he invites us all to come, isn't it? And what can we do for him? I think of that when I think about the woman with the alabaster box. I said I wanted to mention a little bit about that. I love those, whatever it is, 6-7 verses. Because it says, how are we showing our gratitude that we sang about? What are we doing for Jesus? This woman had this alabaster box of ointment, precious and spikenard, very precious. It's thought that that little box she had, and I had the privilege a few years ago of seeing an alabaster box. It was a display of some artifacts from the Holy Land, and there was this little box. It wasn't very big. I don't know how big her box was. But it's thought that this box and the ointment that was contained in that box was worth a year's salary. A lot of money. Judas, you know, it says, what does it say somewhere? There were some that had indignation within themselves. Judas was one of those. We read also in another place. But there was more than Judas. A year's salary. And she broke the box, meaning probably she just broke the seal and opened the box. I don't think she crushed that alabaster box. It was precious too, and it was expensive. But the ointment she poured on his head, there was a year's salary gone. Why was Judas one of those? Because he could have had some of that money. He was controlling the money. And he was using some for his own good and for other things too. But, you know, he used the excuse, well, it could have been sold and given to the poor. Yes, it could have been. But Jesus said it well, didn't he? He said, let her alone. She has done a good work on me. Poor you have always, but me you won't have always. I marvel when I think that Jesus' ministry was 3 short years. Well, it was 3 full years, but whatever. And he accomplished all he came to do. And what Jesus said to her, I think he says to every single one of us. It's in verse 8. And he says, she hath done what she could. Earlier I said, what have I done, or what have you done to show gratitude to Jesus? You know, he doesn't ask us to do something we can't do. He knows. He knows all about us. He knows what our gifts are. I think of that chapter, the 12th chapter in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about the parts of the body that work to make it work. There's an eye, there's a foot, there's a hand. There's all these things that make that body work as God intended the body to work. He's not asking you to be an eye if you're a foot. He's not asking you to be a foot if you're an arm. He's just asking you to do what you can. Probably not. But I want to. I hope you do too. He isn't asking us to give $1 million when we don't have $1 million. He's not asking us to be taller or shorter. He's not asking us to be stronger. He made us. He knows. He just asks us to give back what we can. And that's what this woman who was Mary, it doesn't give her name here, but it was Mary who did this, who gave the alabaster box of ointment, precious, a year's salary, but the Spirit told her, I think, doesn't say that exactly, moved her to anoint him to his death on the cross, which obviously followed soon after. And she did what she could. She did what she could. Have we done what we can? And we need to think about that a little bit. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And Jesus said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. Have you ever wondered or thought what will be spoken of you when they close the lid and cover the tomb, the casket, the vault? What will be said? What did the world think of your life? What will they think of your life and mine? If tomorrow I don't wake up, what would the world say about me? What would it say about you? Could there be some thought that he did what he could? Could there be some thought for you that you did what you could? That you did it willingly? That when there were tough times, you said, as Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. We have our own will, we have our own desires, we have our own directions. But in the end, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. God answers prayer. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait, and sometimes he changes our will to line up with his, if we let him. If we're humble, if we're free, as we should be, to serve him. Anyway, I would just say a few other things. I don't really have any specifics that I was thinking of. I did want to say something about the alabaster box. It goes in then to the Last Supper, which we know about. You'll be celebrating that here in another month or so. But let's think about also this part about the denial. There's a lot in here about that. How do we not go the way of the disciples? It says they all fled. They all fled. Judas betrayed him. Judas went out and hanged himself later. Judas wanted to return that meager 30 pieces of silver when he realized it was nothing. But it was too late. It wasn't possible. They didn't want it back then. They didn't want it back. But how do we not deny Jesus? How do we hold firm in our belief and in our desire to be like him and to serve him and to not run away when things aren't going quite the way we expect them to go? Got to remember, of course, that Jesus hadn't died yet. He wasn't resurrected yet. They didn't have probably the fullness of the Holy Spirit working in them yet. But I think that's where we have to rely. I think it's where we have to rely. We are secure in Jesus if we are close to him. He does answer prayer. He does stay close to us. Temptation will come. Where did we read about that too in here? Forgot it exactly right here. When they fell asleep, for three different times. They fell asleep. They're watching and they're falling asleep. We need rest for our physical bodies. Absolutely, we need rest for our physical bodies. Spiritually, I don't think we can afford to sleep very long, if at all. We need always to know that God is in control, that God is watching, that He's ever present. That's what the Scripture teaches us. He's always there. But He told them, He scolded them in a sense. He said, couldn't you even watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Temptation often comes stronger when we're under stress, when things aren't going so well. It can come when things are going too well as well, I think. But temptation will come. If there's anyone here that's never experienced temptation, I'd like to know how you avoided it. I don't think there are any of us that have never been tempted. And, you know, is it asking too much to watch? Is it asking too much to pray? That's what He told them. That's the instruction He gave them. The spirit truly is ready, He says, but the flesh is weak. We've experienced that, haven't we? The flesh is weak. The flesh gets tempted sometimes with all kinds of things. All kinds of things that are not helpful in our walk toward heaven. That lead to what we know is sin. But still, we're tempted. Like Adam and Eve were in the garden. To Eve, that apple looks so good. Oh, it's so good. Surely, Satan says, God didn't mean it when He said you're going to die if you eat that apple. Surely not. They had it perfect. The spirit was ready. The flesh was weak. And they fell. And sin's been here ever since. And it's just, we know it's there. We know it can be there. And so what is the guard against that? It's to watch and pray, He says. And when He came back the third time, and after He's given them that instruction, couldn't have been too long. I don't know the time frame exactly. It doesn't say here. But He says, okay, sleep on. Take your rest. It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed. Rise up. Let us go. For he that betrayeth me is at hand. And before Jesus got done speaking, here comes Judas to plant a kiss for the 30 pieces of silver. What a sad, sad account for Judas. And so he was arrested and came out, and they wanted to show that they were supporting him. At first they cut off the ear, so one did, and Jesus immediately healed it. But then verse 50, which I've already referred to, and they all forsook him and fled. Again, that's what I'm just trying to help us to think about, to know that I think the reason that we sometimes disappoint God in various ways is because, or at least for me, is because I don't have the gratitude I should for what He did. I don't understand fully the value of salvation. If I did, I can't imagine that I would want to sin and disappoint my Savior, who did everything for me, who died for me, that I could live. Would you? Would you? So I think it's important that we watch and we pray. And I'll admit, be the first one to admit, I don't probably pray as much as I should. We have the example of Jesus who prayed all night. We have the example where He prayed often, and He prayed before He went through this garden. And I'm ashamed to say that sometimes my prayers are pretty short. Sometimes I don't spend the time I should reflecting in prayer. But it's important that we watch and that we pray. That's two different things. That we watch and that we pray. Because temptations will come and do come. And just one other thought I'm going to share here. Time is running short, and I want to give Brother Kevin a chance to share some thoughts too. I just move over here to verse 62, which says, and Jesus said, that, so we went through all of the betrayal, the arrest, Jesus before the high priest. We aren't to the crucifixion yet, but you'll get there next week. But in Jesus says one other important thing. Well, He says many other important things. One of the other things He says in verse 62, I am. They said, are you the Christ? Remember, I said He was silent for most of the interrogation because he knew He had to go to the cross. But when they asked Him, are you the Christ? He said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back in the clouds. He's coming back in the right hand of power. He's coming back to bring His own. I don't know exactly how it works. I've thought a lot about it in this past year. And even in this past week with Connie passing away, many of you know about that. But I believe, and I don't understand it all, but I believe that when a person dies, the soul goes immediately to heaven. When Christ fulfills this 62nd verse, He'll come back and we'll get a new body in a new heaven. Maybe the sequence isn't quite that way. I don't know for sure. But I know also that God is not bound by time. Somebody said, well, what happens in the meantime? God doesn't really need time. He's not bound by time. He always was, is now, always will be. But we know He's coming back. And we know that we'll have a new body. We read about in Thessalonians where it says the graves will be open. And the sea will give up their dead. And we'll have new bodies. And then we'll live in that new Jerusalem forever. So He's coming back. And again, my question is, are you ready?
Scripture takes on different meaning as we have different life experiences, doesn't it? So I heard a very reflective message this morning. Remember the last time we were here, John Lehman gave the service, and Connie was able to attend. And so your closing comments are very real and becoming more real for me every day. And so how we look at this experience changes a little bit. Not the experience, but how we look at it changes. And I was so touched as Wayne brought up that woman with the alabaster box. Of all the things that could have happened, he commented about that. This will live forever. Her act of worship will live forever. And we're talking about it today. Never met the woman, don't know much about her. But we do know that Jesus desires worship from a true heart. And He received it and He responded to that. I'm also touched again by our absolute need for Him. In His moments of trial, nobody stood with Him. They all defended their position. They all ducked and ran. His closest people, the ones who said they would die for Him, were not prepared for that, at least at that time. And so He faced it alone. And so the call then that Brother Wayne gave us was, so what are we prepared to give back? He's done it all. A life well lived. A life of desire to serve is a great place to start for the one who said, I am. And I always will be. Thank you, brother. From the Zion's Harp, number 184. We'd ask a brother to close in prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, graciously we bow our heads to bring thanks unto Thee. And again, each time we read Thy Word, it comes anew, even though we've read it time and time again. And Lord, we know and realize Thy Word is truth. Its fullness will bring us, and its fullness will keep us. And then we read of Thy experience on this earth, as was mentioned in 3 years. Thou did come down and present Thy plan of salvation for us, O Father. And each word in this Bible was written through all the time that Thy Father did minister unto those before Thy presence. And then in Thy presence, Thy kindness presented Thyself as a sacrifice for our sins. We ponder if we realize the fullness of that. Lord, help us to ever be mindful of Thy love that Thou didst show unto us. And Lord, we thank Thee for this word and this sacrifice of Thyself on the cross for us. Thou did make it plain and easy for us if we would just abide and believe and walk in this plan that thou laid so plain for us. And yet, as we have even heard in this ministry this morning, this world presents temptations that shade our eyes, our mind. But Lord, we ask thy forgiveness where we allow those things, and we pray for thy grace and thy mercy unto our continuance with thee in fullness. Through thy grace, we pray that we muster all we can in our bearing, in our spirit, O Father, to attain that spirit within us, full love, ever mindful of this, and that we do not disappoint thee, O Father, that we ever present that which of the gift that thou hast given us in our heart to those that walk outside. Please, Father, forgive us where we fail in this again. So thankful for those that carry on this word unto us, that minister unto us, and those that take on new responsibilities, so Father, keep us mindful of them in our prayers, so Father. And for those that make a beginning here as we witness, we pray, O Father, for thy grace and thy Holy Spirit's ever presence in their heart and minds. And for those, as we have even heard, walk on now and gather into thy arms in heaven, O Father, who have been an example and have shown us a way of walk. And then we think of thy heavenly Father's love for us, even when we opposed all things about thee, his love was still there. Oh, help us to keep this in fullness in our heart and mind, O Father, and to ever be bold and strong for thee, glorifying thee, O Father. Thank thee for thy mercy and thy kindness unto us, thy grace and thy love, O Father, we pray. In thy Son's precious and holy name, amen.